It's Andrew Swain from the Daily Astorian, and this is After Deadline, and our guest today is Mayor Willis Van Dusen, the mayor of Astoria.
Good morning, Sandra. How are you?
Good morning. Fine. How are you?
I am great. Thank you very much for inviting me to
be on the program. You're welcome. Before we go any further, though, I want to have a shout-out to Elvis Presley. He's 75 years
old.
Happy
birthday,
Elvis.
Elvis's birthday. Yeah, I went to college with a guy who's a Elvis impersonator, one of the highest paid impersonators. I haven't seen him for a while. His name is Ken Strand.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That must have been fun.
Yeah, he always liked Elvis, but now he's really making his living being an Elvis impersonator.
Well, Elvis might find out and get mad. But anyway, I guess we have some other things we could talk about the city of Astoria. What would be the first thing you'd like to expound on?
Well, we can talk about whatever you would like, Sandra, or whatever the callers would like.
We don't get callers, unfortunately.
Oh, we don't?
Well, they can pass notes to us.
They can call and pass notes. That would be great.
But lots of things have been going on in Astoria, right. A lot of accomplishments.
We had a good year, and we're looking forward to another good year. Not everything was perfect, that's for sure. I did bring last year's goals with me. just to kind of refresh our memory. But there was one item that wasn't part of the goals, and it wasn't foreseen, but it was a major problem, and I'm very pleased with the way the teamwork handled it, and that was the steps to the column. The Astoria column is a beautiful piece of art. It's our logo. I mean, we are known for the Astoria column. And to have those stairs unsafe, and we had to keep it closed for a year and a half, that's a long time.
Yeah, that was terrible, wasn't it?
It really was terrible, but now we've got brand new steps, and you can't tell them from the old ones, at least I can't. It is quieter inside the column. I've climbed it, that's what I've noticed. But for those who are listening that did not know about how we did it, the way I describe it is it's like a Pringles can. We just took the top off, pulled out the core of the steps, and put in the new ones. And as the mayor, I'm very pleased to say it was paid for without any property taxes. Now, it was paid for by half of it by the Friends of the Astoria Column with private donations, and the other half by the room tax, which is a tax, but it's the tourists pay the room tax in the hotels, and that's where we got the funds to pay for it. So we're open again, and that was a major accomplishment, even though it's just a repair. But the column should be set for, it was built in 1926. It should be good for another 75 years.
Yes, and it was such a heartwarming celebration when, the official celebration for opening the stairs.
It really
was.
Yeah, that was really fun. And again, the teamwork, it was a great day for us to get that column back open. In fact, my daughter was married up at the column.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the last Saturday in August. So it was a very small wedding. You can't have a big one up there. But I'm very, very proud of the Astoria column, as it was most of the people here in town.
Another Astoria icon is the trolley. And, of course, it wouldn't be running anyway at this time of year ordinarily. But can you tell us where that stands with the trestle problem?
The Astoria Riverfront Trolley has just completed 10 years. It's been a tremendous success story. It's completely run by volunteers. And we had ODOT, and I think the City of Astoria and the Oregon Department of Transportation get along very well. When we had our slide over at First and Commercial, ODOT really went beyond the call of duty to help us. And they're also helping us replace two bridges on city streets. One over at 39th Street and one on Irving. So their bridge engineers were in town working on those bridges, and Ken Cook, our public works director, thought here's an opportunity for some free advice for some experts. And he asked the engineers if they would look at some of our trestles, and unfortunately they found some problems, but I'd much rather find them before there was a real accident or a problem. And so at this time we're reassessing the situation. I guess the worst area is at 11th Street, right, where the Pier 11 is and the Wet Dog, and we have limited weight on that area now, but we should get a complete report back in 2 or 3 weeks. But my prediction, now this is just a prediction, I hope everybody understands, I'm just giving you, Sandra, my opinion, it won't be an insurmountable problem because that railroad and those trestles are built for very, very, very heavy trains, locomotives, and we used to have a flour mill and flour cars. And the trolley, compared to those trains, is very, very light. So we'll have to see, and that's just a prediction, but we need to get the trolley up and running. The locals love it, which is more important, but the tourists love it, and you don't have to ride it to enjoy it.
No, you don't. It's just beautiful. I enjoy just looking down the street where I live and seeing it go by.
Seeing it go by, hearing the bell.
Hear the bell, and I look down there, and there it is. And I actually used to drive it for a while there.
No, that's right. Yeah. You were is it a motor woman or were you a motorman? But whatever. But thank you for doing that.
Oh, it was certainly
it's
fun.
Great.
All right. Well, how about something that's been in the news lately is that batting cage. If you just tell us who owns it. Now?
Well, it's funny when you get a name connected to anything, it's really hard to change it. In fact, the Sears Tower in Chicago.
That's your tower now.
It's now named the Willis Tower.
I'm so mad about that as a Chicagoan. Right. How could you do that to us?
But I doubt the name will ever be changed, but I like being teased and teasing people about it. But batting cage, for those who have not seen it, it is much more than a batting cage. It is an indoor baseball facility that replaced a batting cage. So the name's been batting cage. And what happened at our city council meeting, and you were there, Sandra, but some of the listeners may not know, you know, our meetings aren't orchestrated, and our council doesn't talk about issues till we get in the public meeting. And Commissioner Arlene Lemire, who is our newest commissioner, and she's just doing a great job, and she reads everything, and she said, I just have a question here. In the parks minutes, it sounded like our parks board has the confusion over the ownership of the quote-unquote batting cage. So Paul says, oh, that's simple. It's a city facility. And I said, no, it's not. It's a school district. And then half the council said, no, it's city. No, it's school district. And we didn't make a bet on a cup of coffee, but it was not very clear where it was. And there's some good reasons why it wasn't clear. It was built by volunteers, and it was built to help the baseball team. And I don't think anyone, I sure didn't, and I know that Dave Gasser, the very successful baseball coach, really wasn't expecting such a good, grand baseball facility.
Huge. It's really
huge.
A big
it's
building.
Huge. It's beautiful. You can hit in there. You can field in there. And so, but we're going to get that ironed out. And I've said it many times, and I know you have too, Sandra, that the city of Astoria and the Astoria School District have an excellent relationship. And I think it's the best of any city school district in the state of Oregon. We use the school district's gyms for our parks and recreation programs. The city actually owns Tapiola, where the baseball team plays. We own the swimming pool where the kids, the swim team works out. And so it's a great relationship. So I never had a question how it was going to go. But as you saw, one simple question was asked, and there were three or four conflicting answers. But I think we have it under control now.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Well, we were just talking a few minutes ago about the vacant property in downtown Astoria and how you turn the corner there at 8th and Commercial, maybe just coming into town for the first time and around that area. It's not that real good looking. What's going on with the derelict building ordinance we've been hearing about?
Well, I have learned that the citizens of Astoria really care about this town. And that's why when we do a project, if it's a trolley, if it's the Astoria Column, if it's the Liberty Theater, people care. And so I'm not going to mince words or hold any punches. The city council and the city staff has done a very poor job with derelict buildings. We put that as a city goal. It's been 5 or 6 years now. And we've had reasons that our city attorneys have said, well, we'll be, if we try to use city ordinances to enforce on public ownership, there could be lawsuits. And I know the city of Portland now has passed ordinances. Other cities have. They've gone through litigation. So I think many of those excuses we don't have anymore. And the ordinance that we need to pass, or maybe two of them, one for private residences, one for commercial buildings, I really want to make a commitment to those listeners and the citizens of Astoria knew that we're going to do something about it, and we haven't. And a big part of the problem are the buildings owned by the Flavelle family. And I want to be very honest and straightforward with that. And that's both they have a beautiful residence. At one time it was a beautiful residence. Now it is, it's dangerous. It's a fire hazard. The bushes are overgrown. It's sad. It's sad. That's the right word. It's sad. But it is, and then the downtown commercial buildings from 9th Street to 10th Street on both sides of the street are owned by the Flavelles, and it is dangerous. It looks bad. It puts a damper on expansion. People would hesitate to come in and invest money in a town that looks that way. And so I wish I had better news for you.
But it's getting there, though. It seems like, didn't Brett Estes say that it's before the Planning Commission now? They're kind of working on it.
They're working on it, but, I mean, it really has been a long time.
Yeah.
It's been a long time, and so when our team, the city staff and the city council, does something well, I want to have our credibility and say, yeah, we did a great job. On the column steps, we did a great job. On the derelict buildings, we have not.
Well, let's turn to something that is turning out very well.
Good.
And that would be the Aquatic Center.
The Astoria Aquatic Center. We have a beautiful Aquatic Center. And a year ago right now, our city manager, who I believe we have the best city manager in Oregon, and that's Paul Benoit, made a recommendation that we close it. And it was a difficult decision for him to make. And we shared his views with the community, and the vast majority said, we're not going to allow that. We got to make some changes. And by the way, the Daily Astorian was very helpful with the Aquatic Center, and you were in Steve Forrester, and it was a teamwork effort, but there was some real leadership there in getting the word out.
Thank you.
And so we have gone 6 months. We have gone as close to a 180, a complete turnaround, as I've ever seen. We're not quite breaking even, but there's no public aquatic center that I know of that does break even. But had we ran the aquatic center the way it had been run by all of us, I've been the mayor the whole time, we were scheduled to lose $400,000, over $400,000.
I think it would have been closer to $500,000. It was up to $420,000
yes.
Already.
And so there's been lots and lots of changes. We've got more efficient water heating. The labor cost has been reduced. There's not the management staff there. The lifeguard situation is being monitored much closer. I don't think that, I don't think anyone was abusing the system, but it was just overstaffed. And the fees have gone up, but the usage has gone up. So it is a very, very positive note from where we were a year ago. And there was, again, the Daily Astorian helped. Paul Benoit took great leadership. He found, through our citizens task force, we appointed a task force, and we made sure that no one on the task force was a city employee and no one was an elected official. And they took a real fresh look at it. And they said, this is too good to let it go downhill. They found J.P. Moss, who is a guy out of Portland, a very energetic, knowledgeable man, who came in, and now he's our interim parks director, and he's going to be leaving shortly. It was always going to be interim. But he did some great things, and we now have our parks department at the Aquatic Center. And that was just, that should have been done. When you make a good decision, it's often obvious. Gosh, why didn't we do this before?
Yeah, in retrospect, but I would have
in
never
retrospect,
thought of it.
It's so simple.
And now,
instead of having someone answer the phone at City Hall for the parks and someone answer the phone at the Aquatic Center, there wasn't enough phone calls for two people. And you were a dispatcher, weren't you? Maybe you weren't.
No.
I know Judge Brownhill was. But anyway, one person can take a lot of calls if you're trained. And so, and also if someone goes in to play volleyball, but they got to go in and pay their fees or their team, they have to go in the Aquatic Center now. And so we have people that have never been in there before. And so
They're seeing it now.
They're seeing it now.
Well, you're listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian. And in case you didn't recognize his voice, it's Astoria's Mayor Willis Van Dusen.
I'm very pleased to be here.
Let me take this minute to ask you, you're going to be up for re-election if you plan to run again in November.
Time goes so fast, doesn't it?
How long have you been in office?
After this year, I will complete my 20th year as the mayor, and I was on the city council for 6 years before that. I have completed 25 years on the city council and 19 as the mayor, and it has been a real privilege for me. I've really enjoyed it. Many of my closest personal friends I met only because I was in the city council. Mm-hmm. Former council members or former staff members with the city and working with you. And I mean, it has really been a privilege. And I like many of us, I'm not unusual. I love this town. And when people ask what makes Astoria so special, it really is the people. Now, that may sound a little blasé, but there are many professional people that could choose to live wherever they wanted. They choose to live here. And a lot of native Astorians, they don't want to live anywhere else. And people live here because they want to live here. And that's why sometimes when we make a little tweak to talk about a change at the Astoria Column, possibly an interpretive center, boy, let me tell you, people want to know about it. And when we want to deal with our beautiful riverfront and any type of development that could affect anything to do with the riverfront, the view or whatever, people are involved. This is their town. They're serious about it. And there's other communities, especially some of those in the desert. Now, our former council member Joyce Compeer lives down in Phoenix now, and my brother right now is vacationing near Palm Springs. And those communities don't know who your neighbors are. There's changes done to the ordinances. They change traffic. Nobody is interested. Let me tell you, people are interested here, and I like that.
So you think you might run again?
I might run again. I mean, I haven't made my decision up. I have to talk about it with my wife and with my family and with some of my friends, but I really do enjoy it. So,
that's good to hear. All right.
We'll see.
Let's see. Well, I did it before
But the voters have an awful lot to say about it. An awful lot to say. But anyway.
I was looking through some of our past stories at the Daily Astorian before I came here, and I found this one from 2005 that talks about the goals.
Okay. Well, that's interesting. Good.
Why don't we just already talked about the vacant property issues on Commercial Street. It was still a goal in 2005.
See?
Yeah. Let's see. Improving the traffic pattern around Commercial and 8th Street. Let me say, when we moved here in 1984, I was on the Traffic Safety Committee, and they were talking about that.
Right.
But so I don't know that there's really anything that can be done about that. But making progress on a parking plan.
Yeah, well, we've made some progress, but not as parking is still an issue. And one of the reasons we made such a improvement in the parking plan is that Safeway relocated, and the city acquired that large city block, which definitely, in my opinion, has a much higher and better use. And I hope to be here. I mean, I'm sure I will be here. I don't know if I'll be on the city council, the mayor, but we have to use that. Is right in the center of town. That's kind of our living room in Astoria, and there's a higher and better use. One thing just popped into my head, though. You were talking about transportation. As you and I know, Sandra, Astoria's got some great things, but transportation is not one of them. And we've got very poor highways into Astoria, very few. And when we've had storms, they've been cut down. And we do have air service now. We've got to do what we can, all of us, to keep commercial air service into the Astoria Airport. I'm actually going with Sheriff Tom Bergen to Salem on Monday to talk about the trees that are lining the beautification strips of trees.
I thought that most of those were cut down thanks to Sheriff Bergen's
A lot of
idea.
Them were, but I've been invited to go with Sharon Bergen to meet with some legislators, and he's put together some amazing footage of some problems. And when we don't have rail service and we have limited air service and our highways are blocked, we have a real problem. And so we have to realize our strengths and we have to realize our weakness, and transportation is one of them. And 8th and Commercial, wow, that's a tough one. It really is.
Yeah. Well, someone has called and asked this question, which is a good one. How can Astoria compete with the big box stores in Warrenton?
Well, I don't know if the word is compete, like go head-to-head against Costco or Home Depot. I don't think we should look at it that way. Astoria is healthy. Our economy is healthy. It's a tough recession. It's the toughest in my lifetime. But we cannot try to compete price for price, and we can't compete with the big volume stores. But we can compete if we make Astoria a place where people like to come, make it enjoyable, make it a fun place. And we have the natural beauty. And again, I talk about the people. We have the people. And it's our job to support the local businesses. I'm very pleased to say I did all of my Christmas holiday shopping in Astoria. And so we have to support our local businesses and not try to compete. And maybe that's not what the caller meant, but we can't go head-to-head with Costco. Costco is huge. Home Depot is huge.
Yeah, Walmart's
coming in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it is. But they are those. If you look at some of the positives, since we can't do anything about Home Depot and Costco coming in now, but they are drawing people through town. There are people coming. There are more people.
It's the regional approach that we so often talk about, I think.
It is. Yes, it is. And, you know, I personally, and I'm just being honest, but I wouldn't want those big box stores in Astoria.
Good thing, because there's no place to buy them.
Well, and you know, that's a very good point, and I've said that before. I mean, when I joke, I say, oh, it's Cedar, it's our city leadership that has kept those out. Well, it's the geography. And I think if the Columbia River was, instead of being a river, was a big valley, I don't know what would have been built out there. But we're on a peninsula, and there's not a lot of space. And for those that need to, but you know, if when Costco was not, I keep using Costco because that's been here the longest, but when it was not in the area, a lot of Astorians drove to Longview or drove to Portland and drove to Hillsborough to use Costco. So if they're going to go to Costco, I'd rather have some good Astorians working out there, and there are a lot of them.
You know, it's interesting to me when we, because of course I cover the city of Warrenton too, and when they talk about the Warrenton volunteer firefighters, and often they say that the reason it's hard to find them during the day is that they don't have jobs within the city of Warrenton. So it's possible that I assume that some of them are working over here. So maybe having all those stores over there doesn't have as much of an effect on employment as you would think. I don't know
that's
how that can
point.
Happen.
Yeah.
But
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it could happen.
I really didn't know that. Mm. But boy, does this county work well together with our fire departments. The Warrenton and Seaside Fire Department, well, a lot more than Warrenton Seaside.
And Lewis and Clark and only Molesky.
They're very well trained. They work very well together, and the chiefs get along great. I went to high school and grade school with Fire Chief Leonard Hansen. And anyway, he's a great professional. I don't want to get off track here, but we have a great rural and municipal cooperation, and we're very lucky. When there was a fire the other night up there on 6th Street, my gosh, we had a lot of firefighters there, and those houses are so close together, so many in Astoria.
And quick response is vital, or it could go so fast.
Yes, it is.
Well.
Right.
Gosh, I train of thought. What was? Oh, I know. I was going to say, speaking of the cooperation, you mayors all get together, don't you, every once in a while and talk about things?
Yes, we do. And Mayor Gil Gramson, and I don't want to keep boring people. I mean, boring our listeners by talking about our relationships. But Mayor Gramson from Warrenton was my biology teacher. That's how long I've known him. When I was, that's how much older he is. But you know, old Mr. Gramson, he was probably 21 when he was teaching me. I have to give Gil, Mayor Gramson, the credit. He really reached out and he said, we've got to just improve communication. Let's get the mayors of the county together on a frequent basis to talk about issues and cooperation. And it's really, really helped. And so we have Mayor Mike Morgan now, who's a good friend of all of us in Cannon Beach. He's doing a great job. And just communication helps a lot.
And Kent Smith has been the mayor for a really long time.
Kent Smith has been a long time, and Don Larson, absolutely.
Yeah, so that's good probably to get together and be sure you're
on. Oh, it's very good.
You know what's going on. Yeah. Well, the Astoria Municipal Court has been in the news quite a bit lately. There's been an editorial about it. Can you explain what's going on with the Municipal Court and drunk driving arrests and convictions?
Well, I didn't see the editorial, but I heard from our city manager there's been some public records requests. And so we'll have to see. We have to look into it and get some... get the information, whatever's, I don't know what requests the Daily Astorians asked for, but the municipal court is an important court for the city of Astoria. That's where Judge Brownhill was there before, and Judge Nelson was there before, and Judge Kino's there now. And so,
don't forget Judge Jerry McAllister.
Judge Jerry McAllister, right. Yes. So one of the big advantages for the city of Astoria with a municipal court is when our police officers are called to testify, which they are any time that they're involved and there's a trial, there's much less overtime, and it's much less, it really helps the police department's budget. But as you heard the big announcement Monday, and it again, Paul Benoit does a great job, but it's been a long time in coming, but Blair Henningsgaard and Pete Roscoe, these are the city council members. Councilor Henningsgaard, Councilor Roscoe, Councilor Warr, and Councilor Lemire, and I have asked to have the court system recorded for a long time so we can record all the proceedings. And as of Monday, starting the new year, every court proceedings is recorded now, and so we can make some improvements.
Be good. Well, the allegation is that when drunk drivers get into municipal court instead of being in circuit court, that they get off easy and they're not, don't get the full impact of the law. So that's what is at issue here. So,
well, we'll have to see. I don't think that's true, but I don't have any facts here. I wouldn't think Hal Snow is our city attorney. Hal Snow hires a prosecutor. I don't think Hal Snow would put up with that. And I haven't heard any complaints about the municipal court except for through the newspaper.
Okay.
To be honest.
All right, and here's
but what I find out, I mean, I'll sure get back to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And there's one more listener question we may have time for. We have 1 minute. Any plans for the Waldorf Hotel?
No.
And it doesn't belong to the city.
The answer is no. I'm going to make that very quick. We have not a lot of time. There was a lot of, with the housing authority, a lot of discussion, and we don't have a big staff, but our Brett Estes and Paul Benoit spent a lot of time working on that, and it was disappointing how it turned out.
It really was.
And it was very disappointing. That's just...
Because ever since we've been living here, since 1984, that's been such an eyesore right now.
But the eyesore is on the eastern part of town, out by where the Safeway store is. And anyway, I guess we're running out of
time. You're out of time.
You have to have me back, please.
I would love to.
I really enjoy it.
At least three more shows. You've been listening to After Deadline on Coast Community Radio. I'm Sandra Swain from the Daily Astorian, and we were talking with Astoria Mayor Willis Van Dusen.